Well, good morning to my brothers and sisters at O'Neill. We're so delighted that we have this time together to study the Word of God in this unusual circumstance. We're recording this so we can study together and have some time in God's Word. The elders have requested that this week, as we are quarantined and confined to our homes, that we use this time to study the Word of God, to study with our families, and to take time to pray with one another and to pray for our nation and to pray for the world as we're facing this pandemic. And so we request that you continue to study the Word of God on your own and with your family. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn to the book of Acts in the 27th chapter. In the book of Acts in the 27th chapter, you'll find the Apostle Paul is on his way to Rome. At this particular time, you'll remember from the book of Acts in the 25th chapter that he had been arrested and he's on trial. And as he is on trial, you'll find that he makes his appeal, being a Roman citizen, to go to Rome and stand before Caesar's judgment seat. And because he was a Roman citizen, you'll find the governor at that time grants that desire to Paul, and thus he is going to be shipped to Rome. And when you come to the book of Acts in the 27th chapter, you'll find that the people at this time are going to take Paul on the journey to Rome, and they're about to get on a ship. And Paul warns them that though the weather looked fine and the southern breezes were blowing, that this would not be a good time for them to set sail, that they should wait till sailing season. But they decided to go ahead and set sail, and you'll remember that they came upon a great storm. This Paul had prophesied to them, and yet they disregarded the prophecy of Paul, and the storm arose. And in your Bible, in the book of Acts, in the 27th chapter, you'll find in verse 29 that the Bible says, "Fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come." If you take your Bible, look at that statement, four anchors. I think that when you look at the four anchors Paul talked about, that they were looking to steady the ship in the time of storm. They're looking for the ship not to be so rocky on the waves. And so they dropped these four anchors. And notice at that time they begin to pray for day. I believe that we can take that statement, four anchors, and in this time of uncertainty that we're facing, in this time of great adversity for some, we can look at four things God has given us to steady us when the storms of life come. Four things God has given us that we can hold on to when our faith is being put to the test. The first thing I think we can observe that God has given man is the Bible, the Word of God. That this is God's infallible Word to man. That I can take my Bible, which means book, and understand that it is the Word of God. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And when the Apostle Paul was writing this epistle to Timothy in his second epistle, notice what he said in verse 16. He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." That word there, inspiration, means God breathed. He said, all Scripture is given from God. You remember when Paul was writing in the epistle to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? That the Apostle Paul was not ashamed to let the Corinthians know that this Word is from the mind of God. He said in verse 10, "But God has revealed to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So when the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he lets them know we have the mind of God, and it's been revealed to the apostles, and it's been written down, and now we have God's Word confirmed through the Holy Scripture. And so when I think about a time of unsteadiness and a time of trouble, I realize I have the Bible to hold on to. I remember what the psalmist said about the Scriptures in 119. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, he said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So this morning, as I think about the problems of life, one thing I know I can hold on to is the Word of God. First of all, the Word of God tells me about Christ. All I know about Christ comes from God's Word. Anything I hear from man is one thing, but I know that anything I get from the Bible is God-breathed, as we've already established, and thus is about the Son of the living God. The second thing I understand is how I'm to live my life to please God. If I didn't have the Word of God, I would not know what God expects of me to please Him and to do His will. And third, I wouldn't know about death. Oh, I'll tell you, when you come to death, there's a lot of things that frighten man, but in Hebrews 9:27, it said, "It is appointed for man to die, and then the judgment." And so this much I know man's going to die eventually. But I'll tell you what I find out also from the divine revelation is there's a life beyond the grave. Have you ever thought that without the Word of God, we wouldn't know anything about heaven? We wouldn't know anything about hell? All we know about life beyond the grave is given to us in God's infallible Word. And so this morning, when I think about God's Word, I think about it something to steady me in life and give me hope for life beyond the grave. Look, if you will, in your Bible, in the Hebrew letter and the 6th chapter. And when you look in Hebrews chapter 6, you'll find that at this time, the writer of God makes a statement in verse 18. He said in verse 18 that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of hope set before us. Now look at that word hope. Now look at what he says in verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. I have hope, and that's an anchor to hold on. This Word, the Bible, the Word of God, gives me hope. It steadies my life in times of trial, in times of storm. But there's a second thing I believe we can find that God has given us to hold on to. The second anchor to steady us in time of trial and trouble. And that is, He has given us prayer. Have you ever thought about how important prayer is? Sometimes I wonder if we take for granted the power of going to the Almighty God. In the Bible, in the book of James and the 5th chapter, you'll remember the writer of God said in about verse 16, that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe that when a righteous man prays to the God of heaven, that the God of heaven hears that petition, and when a child of God pours his heart out, that he can go before the Father's throne with boldness. That's what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 4:15 and 16, that we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, because he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He said, therefore, we can go boldly before the throne of grace, and we can obtain mercy in time of need. And so, when I think about prayer, I recognize I can go before my God. And that is an anchor to hold on to. When Peter was writing, he said in 1 Peter 5 and about verse 7, cast your cares upon the Lord. Why? He cares for you. Now, if anyone understood that, it would have been Peter. And here he is writing by the inspiration of God. And He's given us something to hold on to in the storms of life, something to steady us when life is overwhelming. He's giving us an anchor. And we can go before our God and we can pour our heart. I think about Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 when the apostle was facing the thorn in the flesh. And he prays three times. And I've often wondered if that meant morning, noon, and night. And let his heart be known to God about this thorn. And though God didn't take away the thorn, and though Paul had to continue in it, God told him His grace was sufficient. Every problem, but I'll tell you, He'll give you the strength to see it through. That's an anchor to hold on to. But I'll tell you, there's a third anchor He's given us, and that's the family. Sometimes I wonder if we recognize that the family unit is to be an anchor. Many times we'll find families that struggle, and I'll tell you that is such a problem in our day. And yet when you look at the Bible, you're to see the home life as an anchor. In Genesis 2 and verse 24, it said that a man is to leave his father and mother and to cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now if one chooses not to marry, that's one thing. But if one chooses to enter into that bond, into that marital relationship, they are to hold on to one another. They are to be true to one another, faithful to one another. That is something God has commanded. And I'll tell you something, in our day and time, we need to look and see what He says about the home life. In Ephesians chapter 6, He tells children that they're to obey their parents. And He tells parents they're to raise their children in the admonition and love and nurture of the Lord. Sometimes I wonder if we're bringing them up like we should. But what we need to do is remember the home is an anchor. In Luke 15, when that young man went off to the far country, what did he have? He hit the bottom. He was in the pig pen. He was feeding the swine. And then he remembered. And the Bible said he came to himself. And he said, I'm going to arise. I'm going to go home where my father's servants have plenty to spare. And I'm going to ask my father just to make me a servant. You know, my boys aren't perfect. And their father's not perfect. And I wouldn't condone anything my boys would do that's wrong. And I wouldn't want them to condone anything their father does that's wrong. But one thing I want my boys to know is if they go astray and they come home, they got a father with open arms willing to take them back. Because that's the picture we have of God with His people. And the home needs to be an anchor. It needs to be something we can hold on to. And in this time of quarantine, in this time of confinement, let the home life grow closer. Spend time with your family. Put the Facebook down and pick up the Bible and spend time studying together. But I'll tell you, there's a fourth anchor God has given us. And it's one I hope we don't take for granted. As I stand in an empty auditorium with Brother Gooch back there recording me, I'll tell you what I miss is my brothers and sisters in Christ. The local church is an anchor. I pray we never get used to this setup of virtual worship, because I'll tell you, you don't find that in the Bible. I realize in this time of distress, that's one thing. But I'll tell you, I hope we miss one another, because the church is an anchor. The local body is an anchor to hold on to. In Galatians 6:2, He said, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. And I'll tell you, when you are living the life you should and you are working in the kingdom of God and you're doing those things that are pleasing to God, you will help one another. And even in this distress, when we're confined and when we're having these problems, we can still check on one another. We can do those things that encourage one another. And God help us to all look forward to the day that we can assemble again as the local church at O'Neill and be the body and be with one another. And be the kind of example for one another that helps one another get to heaven. Oh, I hope we see the power that God had when He designed the local church. And let O'Neill be the kind of church that when we look at each other, we look at each other with love, trying to help one another get to heaven. That's an anchor to hold on to. I don't know where I'd be without my spiritual family. But one thing I do know, without my family and without God, I'd be lost. I need my Father, and I need my family to help me so we can get to heaven together. If you have any spiritual needs this week, you can call a guy, or you can call me, or you can call one of the elders, and we'd be glad to assist you in any way. But just know, God has given us anchors to hold on to when life is unsteady. Thank you very much.